Our study at this time is continuing in the 65th chapter of Isaiah. Now, last time we'd gotten into the 21st and 22nd verses, and so we're going to begin there at this time. He's talking here about the future glory and prosperity for God's true people, and he's talking about how things are going to be with them when they get back to Jerusalem, when Jerusalem had been rebuilt, how it's going to be different from the time when they were carried away into captivity. So beginning in verse 21, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands." Showing that when he let them be punished and carried into captivity, somebody else came along and took over their houses and sacked their homes and all their goods and property. Another people could maraud through the land and take the advantage of their crops that they had planted and of the trees that they had planted and had fruit ready to harvest. And they did not get to enjoy the work of their hands, but they were taken out of their country and out of the city that they'd built and the house that they'd built and the land that they'd farmed and all that they'd accumulated. And so it was completely taken away from them. And so he says, now when my people get back, now they're going to enjoy. Now they're going to not have somebody else come along and take over the things that they have worked for, to take the advantage of the fruit of their labor, but they're going to enjoy the fruit of their own labor. And for as the days of a tree are the days of my people. Now, the days of a tree are considered to be long days. Trees live long times. There are trees that have been alive for hundreds and even thousands of years. And we think of a tree as not being something that just has a short life, and that's the figure that's alluded to here. My people are going to live long like the days of a tree, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Now, that was fulfilled when these people went back to Jerusalem, but it also has a greater fulfillment in the church. In the church, we do not have to worry about somebody else coming in and taking over our position, our place. Whatever place we occupy in the church, that is a place that is ours. There's plenty of room for somebody else to come in, and they will not crowd us out. There is room for all who want to serve and obey God. The work that we do in the church, we will get to enjoy the fruits of our labors. Somebody else does not deprive us of that. There's no way they can deprive us of it, for these are spiritual blessings, and they are ours to be had just as God has promised them to us. That's true in the church as a fulfillment of this very prophecy, and it will be true even yet in the life to come. It will not have to be worried about a Babylonian captivity at that time. And today, if we will remain faithful, Babylonian captivity is no problem for us. But if we are unfaithful, we can be carried away into the captivity of modern Babylon, just like these people were during the days following this, the giving of this prophecy. Verse 23, "They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." He's saying here that they're not going to labor in vain or bring forth for trouble, and this bring forth for trouble really has reference to bringing forth offspring. Their labor is going to be productive and fruitful and beneficial, and their offspring are going to be beneficial offspring. He says, "For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." In other words, they are descendants of the Lord's blessed, and their offspring are also descendants of the Lord's blessed. "And it shall come to pass," verse 24, "it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Now, God has promised this for His people, for His remnant, that before they call, I will answer. He's ready and willing to help, to be of assistance, to be sympathetic with them, even before they call. He's ready to answer, and He already does answer. And this has happened time and time again. We have several New Testament accounts. For example, whenever the people were assembled on the day of Pentecost, and the time came, God filled them with the Holy Spirit. We have the case of Paul and Silas when in prison, and they were singing and praying. Right in the midst of that, God answered captivity, or the imprisonment was taken away from them. They were released. And this same thing happens to us today. We today have God to know what we want before we even call. He's so eager and ready that He'll answer before we call. And while we are yet speaking, He hears. And that's a promise. And it's one that we can certainly take to heart. And it's just the opposite of the way they had treated God. God said that when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear. But you did evil before mine eyes, and did choose things wherein I delighted not. Now verse 25, the last verse of the chapter. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. This verse 25 is a very beautiful little verse, but I think it's one that has been greatly misunderstood and misapplied by many of the Bible scholars. This verse talks about a figurative situation. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. What is he saying here? Well, the figure is that when God let his people go back to Jerusalem, that there would be a change so great that it would be the same as having the wolf and the lamb feed together. Now, we know that is against nature. The wolf and the lamb are natural enemies. And it is not according to nature for the wolf and the lamb to feed together. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. Now, the lion is a flesh eater, and he ate the bullock in nature. He would attack and destroy and eat the bullock. But these natural enemies would have their animosity so removed that the lion would eat straw like the bullock. This prophecy is also given in Isaiah 11. Let's turn and read it also, and then we'll see if we can make an application of it. In Isaiah 11, beginning with the 6th verse through the 9th verse, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. Then rather, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Then he goes on in verse 10 and says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now what he's really talking about here, the ultimate fulfillment of this, all right, let me say a greater fulfillment of this is the time when the Gentiles are coming to God. The times when the Gentiles shall turn to this root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. Now that's what he's really talking about here. Now let's notice, the Gentile and the Jew are natural enemies in the spiritual sense. The Jew can have nothing to do with the Gentile and his idolatrous and heathen ways. And the Gentile, due to his ignorance, looked upon the ways of the Jew as being a way that was to be looked upon with disgust. And it would be an impossibility to get these two together. But as they unite under the ensign of this root of Jesse, which is Christ, as they unite under it, then the old wall of animosity and middle water partition that separates them is broken down, and they come together as one in the family of God. And this is graphically demonstrated to us as we see that Paul quotes from this prophecy. He quotes from Isaiah 11 and 10 in Romans 15 and 12. And let's turn just a minute to Romans 15 and 12 and read what Paul is talking about. Paul's talking about the time when the Jew and the Gentile are going to get together. And the fact that the Gentile is going to be received into the kingdom of heaven just like the Jew is. Verse 9 of Romans 15. And that the Gentile might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he says, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again, Isaiah says, now this is our prophecy in Isaiah 11, verse 10. And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." Now, the fact that Paul uses this to prove his point that the Gentiles would be turning to the root of Jesse, and that the Gentiles then would be received into the church, and that that was happening at the time he was writing Romans 15, showing that it was in the church age, that fact then shows that this is fulfilled in the church. And what he's simply showing is that these natural enemies, the Jew and the Gentiles, would come together just like the cow and the bear would feed together, just like their young ones would lie down together, just like the oxen would eat straw, or rather the lion would eat straw like the ox, and just like the sucking child should play on the hole of the asp. Now, it was unthinkable for the Jew to ever come together religiously with a Gentile, just as it's unthinkable for us to have a suckling child to play with an asp, or it's unthinkable for us to have the wolf and the lamb to feed together. The Jew couldn't even tolerate the thought of his compromising with the Gentile. But God has provided a way in which there is no compromise. There is a way in which men can serve God, and this way is open to the Jew and the Gentile alike, and as they come together here, they're no longer enemies. They're no longer at odds with each other, but they have united on the common ground of the great government of God. And so that's what our verse is teaching here in Isaiah 65 and verse 25. "The lamb and the wolf shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat." Now, you know, back in Genesis it's referred to that the serpent would eat dust, and whether this has any reference to that or not, it's hard for me to say, but the serpent would not destroy man, nor be an enemy to man, but rather the serpent should be eat dust. He says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." Now this is talking about the kingdom of God, the brotherhood of God. He's simply saying that there would be peace in the brotherhood. Anybody who's a servant of God will be compatible with anybody else who is a servant of God. No nation of God's people would war against any other nation of God's people. No one follower of God would be the enemy of any other one follower of God. "For in his holy mountain they shall not hurt nor destroy, saith the Lord." And so these people who outside of the realm of God were enemies and had conflicting interests, whether it be the Jew and the Gentile, or whether it be one Jew against another Jew, whether it be one Gentile against another Gentile. When they come into the holy mountain of God, when they enter into the realm of being God's servant, then it's like the wolf and the lamb feeding together. It's like the lion eating straw like the bullock so that he does not be a threat to the bullock. And it's like the serpent having dust for his meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. There will be peace in the brotherhood. And I think that the only way we can understand this is in light of what's said in Isaiah 11 and the quotation that Paul gives in Romans 15 that then causes us to be able to apply this in that manner. Well, that concludes our study on the 65th chapter of Isaiah 11.